We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
We are doing this. This is the podcast known as What's the Good Word. It's the flagship show of the What's the Good Word channel because it is about Georgia Tech athletics by Georgia Tech alum and fans for Georgia Tech alum and fans. My name is Steven. I'm the alum. His name is Joshua. He is the fan. Joshua, what's the good word?
To hell with Georgia, Steven. And that's education for all the other listeners of the other shows because they might not know about the lore, but now they do.
Now they do. And welcome to all the dozens.
And dozens
of What's the Good Word fans. We have a lot to talk about that we're going to get through quickly because today's show, if we gave titles, I think you do give titles when you edit and produce and do all your behind the scenes stuff. Today's show is all about the transfers. There's a lot of transfer portal news, both in football and basketball. It's the overlap period of transfer portal news. So we are going to talk about that. Before we get to that, we're going to cover all the things of the spring sports, and I apologize ahead of time because there's not going to be a lot of depth. It's really going to be just rapid fire, go through as many sports as possible, and just kind of give you guys some quick update. Everything I got for all the spring sports came from RamblinRec.com. You can follow all your tech sports there. Of course, that's not the only one. There's also Jackets Online, 24/7 sports, and who knows, the Twitter or the X-verse. Formerly known as Twitterverse. You can probably, if you're my age, you probably follow sports on Facebook.
Maybe there's a really strong Georgia Tech following on MySpace.
Somewhere. Well, no, Georgia following on MySpace. I believe their MySpace page is strong for those puppies off to the side. So,
well, it's technology they can understand.
Amen. All right, so there you go. We'll be here all week. Try the veal. And make sure to tip your waitstaff. All right, so we've got some things to cover. Real quick, both men's and women's tennis went into the ACC championships, and I wish I had better news. They both fell in their opening round. The women to Clemson, and the men lost to Wake Forest. Unfortunately, Wake Forest kind of dominated the men's team. They were ranked number 29 going into that match. I'm sure some of this players and doubles, singles and doubles teams for both teams will get a chance to play individually in the national tournament. But in the ACC tournament, they both fell. The women dropped a heartbreaker to Clemson 4-3 in the opening round of their ACC championship. They, of course, were the number 5 seed. So hats off to them. They definitely had a strong season. Just did not finish well. Speaking of unfortunately not finishing maybe as well as we would hope, the golf team went into the ACC championships, and for the third year in a row, they did make it to the match play. The match play is the semifinal round. They finished third in the stroke play, went into the match play, and Joshua?
Steven?
The golf team has something with FSU. We cannot get over the Seminole hump.
Those dang Seminoles.
Dadgummit. And so they...
But I would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Yeah, so Tech finished tied for third and got to face FSU in the match play semifinals and lost to them in the ACC championship. We will see, again, what's ahead. We'll talk about what's ahead for the golf team in the coming weeks, but unfortunately their news did not end well. Joshua, why don't you talk some baseball and then I'll come back with some softball.
Yes, well, the Jackets are, how shall we say, hot at the right time.
Yeah.
But it's also the Georgia Tech version of hot, where we have a disappointing loss followed by a great, great win. So their disappointing loss was the midweek game. They traveled up to Auburn, Alabama. Got to play them Tigers up there, and unfortunately they took a loss, which is not great because Auburn came into the game 19-17. They were not exactly the toast of the SEC, but 12-8 loss from Georgia Tech. They got a horrendous start from midweek starter Logan McGuire. He only lasted 2/3 of an inning, gave up 5 hits, 7 earned runs, two walks and with only two strikeouts. The bullpen did what they could, but they kind of gave up a run for each person that was in there. Guys like Michael Cuvalla and Ben King, they pitched two innings and gave up one run, so that's okay. But like Brett Barfield went a third of an inning, gave up two hits, two runs, one of them earned. Just one of those things, right? Not great. The offense, they did have a solid day with eight hits. You had home runs from Drew Burris and Matthew Ellis, as well as a 3-for-4 day from first baseman Cam Jones with two RBIs, but just wasn't enough to overcome the bad pitching that they suffered from.
Yeah.
But they had a weekend series against number 10 Virginia, and this is coming off the previous weekend series against number 16 Virginia Tech. And Steven, there's just something about that peninsula. There's just something about that state. Georgia Tech must feel really good.
It's a commonwealth, not a state.
Whatever. Maybe it's because it's a commonwealth.
Where you were born, sir.
I only lived there 5 weeks. It doesn't count. So, traveling.
If you're ever in Virginia, don't call it a state. It's a commonwealth. Go ahead.
Traveling to Charlottesville, Virginia for an away series, Georgia Tech took home the series 2 out of 3. First game was actually a run rule in 8 innings. Georgia Tech took the win 13-2 behind a 6-run 8th inning on the Jackets that they put on Cullen McKay and Freddie Benavidez Jr. Great name, by the way.
Yeah.
Offensively, 12 hits for the Jackets, 12 RBIs on the 13 runs, doubles from John Giesler, homers from Cam Jones. Just a good all-around day, a 2-for-4 day from the aforementioned Cam Jones, 2-for-5 at the top of the order from Trey Younger, 2-for-4 from Ryan Jarros at third base, taking out Carson Kearse moving over to second base to cover for, I guess, Trey Younger out in the outfield. Aiden Finitieri did give up 12 hits, but only allowed 2 runs, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts.
That is the epitome of scattering the hits.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they got a single with 2 outs in the inning. Listen, shout out, just don't let them cross the plate, right? Yeah. That's the most important part. Ben King, Carson Ballard finished it off out of the bullpen. Just a good overall day from the Jackets on offense and defense. They did lose the Saturday game, the middle game, 8-7 in 11 innings. So Tech pushed them 2 extras. And this was after Georgia Tech had been up 2-1. They gave up a 6-run 6th inning that took the deficit to 7-2. Georgia Tech then scored 4 in the 7th and 1 in the 9th to tie the game.
We actually saw some of the 6th inning where Tech had the lead, and I think it was it Cam Jones pitching that? He didn't want to come out of
the
game.
Yes, Cam Jones was the one that was pitching. He did not want to come out. He gave up 2 hits to start the 6th, and they pulled him.
And brought in Brown's kid in first pitch.
3-run nuke.
Zach over the left center field wall. It was not good.
No, it was not good at all.
It was not good.
Not
good
at all.
But you got to give the Jackets credit. They battled, like you said, took them to extra innings.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you had strong days from Drew Burris had a double and an RBI with a walk. Matthew Ellis drew 3 walks on the game. So why do we love him? Because he gets on base.
Yep.
Chicks dig OBP. You also had doubles from Michael Bichetti. Bobby Zmarzlak came in as a pinch hitter and had the clutch RBI to tie the game. And you also had Trey Younger 1-for-5 at the top of the order as per usual. So the Sunday game was the pivotal game. This was the one that would determine it, right? And Georgia Tech, 17-12 win.
Nice.
Pitching, never heard of it. Tate McKee got the start, gave up 6 runs, 6 earned. Ben King pitched 4 innings out of the bullpen, 5 runs, 5 earned. And then Mason Battelle finished off 2 2/3 of an inning. 2 hits, 1 run, 1 earned. But the Georgia Tech offense, 25 hits. 25 hits. 2-5.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of hits. You had
a double from scatter 25 hits.
Doubles, Drew Burris, John Giesler, Peyton Green, Bobby Zmarzlak, home run, Drew Burris, home run, Matthew Ellis. Just all over the place, man. Michael Bichetti at second base, 3-for-5 at the bottom of the order. 3-for-6 at the top of the order from Trey Younger. Drew Burris had 4 hits. Matthew Ellis had 4 hits. John Giesler had 3 hits. Peyton Green had 3 hits. Bobby Zmarzlak had 3 hits. There's only one guy on the in the starting lineup that did not get a hit, and it was Vaughn Lackey, catcher. So, Vaughn, get your stuff together.
Yeah.
Hey, Georgia Tech takes the series win against Virginia. By the time this episode's posted, they will also have a game in against Kennesaw State, so check in on that. Georgia Tech is in the home stretch. They've only got a couple ACC series left. If my calculations are correct, it's 4. The conference tournament will be starting middle of May 21st,
And they've got Clemson, Miami, Clemson, Duke, and Florida State left on the ledger.
Yeah.
So they're at least starting to win some conference games at the end of the season. They're currently sitting at 9-9 in the conference, 24-14 overall. So they're winning games. That's all that matters, right?
Well, I have to say, you know, again, the baseball team is going on a little bit of a hot streak. I kind of have to tip my hat to John Gieseler. It seems like since he's returned, that's added a shot in the arm to the offense to make it even stronger. And then if they get any pitching, look out, because they are the team that if they hit as well as they can, they're going to get double-digit runs, right, even in tournaments. So we'll have to see how they do. Speaking of
maybe, and hear me out on this, they should just pitch Aiden Finitari every day.
Yeah, that's probably not good, and that's not going to happen. Speaking of the round ball of the smaller variety, we do want to talk about softball as well.
Softballs are bigger.
That's right, but it's still smaller than other sports is what I want to say.
The field is smaller, but...
Yeah, well, listen, all I know is what still is true of the Lady Yellow Jackets and the softball team is that chicks dig the long ball. The Lady Yellow Jackets, unfortunately, had a very rough weekend. They followed, so they went up to Virginia Tech, and they got swept. Virginia Tech is ranked number 15th in softball. They lost 8-4, 10-4, and got run ruled 11-2 in 5 innings on Sunday. So just not a good weekend all around. You were talking about the men facing Kennesaw State this week. The softball team will also be facing Kennesaw State on Tuesday at home. And then they finish up their regular season schedule this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all at home against the Virginia Cavaliers. Now, Virginia is not ranked, to my knowledge, at this point. But that is how the softball team is going to finish the year. They currently stand at 29-20 overall, 11-10 in the conference. But here's the catch. These last four regular season games they play at home, they are 20-6 at home this year. So home cooking has really helped with the Lady Jackets. And just do want to give a quick shout out to them. I wanted to pull up their stats real quick for the season.
I'd hope if you hit the stats button on the computer.
It would help. So, and then let me get my cheaters on and let me expand this and make it bigger because my eyesight is so bad. No, just kidding. The Lady Jackets are standing at 82 home runs. With four regular season games left, they stand at 82 home runs as a team. Again, opponents only 56. The run scored is 317-256. They are batting... they're slugging .568 as a team. Just fantastic. They're doing a great job. And as a team, they are hitting .316. So, you know.
They're doing pretty good.
So Jackets 316 says chicks dig the long ball. That was a stretch. Okay, so we wish them luck. They have their ACC championships on the week of May 8th. So go get them, ladies, and well done.
Absolutely.
Let's talk transfer portal. I know that's what everyone is here to talk about, and that's what everyone is overreacting to. So we're going to try to bring you facts and not overreact and make you think that every transfer portal person is the next coming of insert your favorite Yellow Jacket of all time here.
Yeah, we're not going to – as much as I love the people that do the reporting for Georgia Tech, every time there's a transfer, it's huge get in – this guy, huge pickup here for Damon Stoudemire, huge, massive pickup for Brent Key. It's not.
You know, the reality of the matter is, guys, that every transfer portal, and I'll use basketball as my example, you know, while they want to make everybody sound like they're going to be the next Kenny Anderson, it's probably going to be somewhere in the spectrum between Kenny Anderson and Lou Gozza. So, you know, go Google those names and you can find that the transfer portal will probably be somewhere in between. So
I say that we start with basketball because there's not as much to talk about necessarily. There's going to be a lot of names to talk about with football. So basketball-wise, Georgia Tech has not had anybody else jump in the portal from the current team.
I need to give a quick correction. It was Lee Gozza, not Lee Gozza. Sorry to the one fan of Lee Gozza.
Our one historian.
I know who you are, so anyway, go ahead.
So there is some updates on the kids leaving Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Two of them have homes.
Oh.
Tafar Gapare has decided he is going to Maryland for his third. So he was up north, then he came south, and now he's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
So
he's splitting the difference.
But he did go. It's another Power Four school. We wish him nothing but the best. I will say, if he ever does put it all together, there is a spot in the NBA for him because he is a fantastic athlete. There is just a lot of technical.
He's got to learn a
technical
lot.
Sides and skills that he needs to work on. The other one, which is actually quite impressive, Ebenezer Dewona is going to James Madison.
Oh, good for him!
Tournament team, very, very solid program. Yeah. James Madison. Yeah. So,
staying in the Southeast.
Yeah,
right?
Don't know how much he'll play, but he's a big body, a graduate, I assume. I think he's a graduate student. So shout out to him. I wish him nothing but the best. Debo and Amari Abram both still in the portal waiting on their next home. But Georgia Tech has already picked up another player, and it is from a tournament team. And it is a guy that will...
So last week we talked about Javion McCollum, right?
Yes,
so
Javion McCollum.
From Oklahoma. So now this is the second transfer portal that we're adding. So go ahead.
It is a wing player, which, you know, Georgia Tech does need. And it is a man by the name of Luke O'Brien. And now I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's going to be a superstar because he's not, but he is going to be something that Georgia Tech has not had a ton of in the last couple years, last half decade, even more. He is going to be a solid role player for the Yellow Jackets, and really that is what the Jackets need. He played 33 games each of the last three seasons, so he's been very, very consistent for the team, and quite simply, he's a shooter. He hit 38% of his threes last year. He had a couple double-digit scoring games. 6'8", outside on the wing, so he's going to, you know, guard up. He can guard probably 2-4, depending on who the number 4 is. He's not going to lock down, but he's going to make it switchable. He's not going to be a liability, to say the least, out there. And, again, the big part is the knockdown jump shots. He was second on the team, I believe, in rebounds per game as well.
And the year before he had been the leading rebounder. He had averaged 5.6 per game, as a junior, 5.6 rebounds per game.
Yeah. So he's been a pretty consistent player for the Colorado Buffalo, and the Colorado Buffalo are a very good team. Do not, get it twisted considering they just made the playoffs. He's also been around since 2020-21, so he will have 1 year of eligibility. But he's been a pretty consistent player for them. He was a bench guy in 21-22, and he's averaged about 22 to 24 minutes the last couple years. So, three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's 6'8", 220. He is known for his defense. Being a top rebounder on a Pac-12 team, this guy knows how to muscle and do what he needs to do on the boards. And let's be honest, if anybody who watched the Tech this year, Damon wants to pick and roll and have spot up jumpers.
Drive and dish.
Yeah. So this guy's job is going to be probably occasionally a roll guy or a pick guy, but he is going to camp around the 3-point line and get ready for dishes that he can. Shoot threes on, get probably average somewhere around 5 to 8 points a game. You know, that would, you know, hit a couple of threes at a decent percentage and battle on the boards. I see this as
do your job.
Yeah. And I see this as the replacement for Debo. I'm not saying he's as good as Debo, but I think that's the role Debo played off the bench. And I think that's this guy's role.
Yeah, absolutely. To finish off the kind of roster stuff, there is news. Justin Pippen is not coming to Georgia Tech. He has decided he would like to spend his basketball playing in the cold winters of Ann Arbor. He will be going to Michigan.
Okay.
And he had eliminated the Jackets from his final choice at the end, but it does seem like there's a couple guys that could be coming in. The one, Rod McKenzie did an article, 24/7, go check it out, where kind of talking about the 24-25 roster and what it's looking like. There is one recruit that potentially that Tech could have a shot at, Ben Hammond, 5'11 point guard out of Virginia. He was committed to Rhode Island. He was let out of his letter of intent. Georgia Tech was one of the teams that it offered, as well as Iowa, Penn State, Providence, and Virginia Tech. So that's a name to keep an eye on. Otherwise, he kind of goes into depth about how many guys the Tech could have right now. 11 with O'Brien. That's assuming that both Kelly and Ndongo are not coming back. If they come back, then you're looking at 13.
if Ndongo doesn't return, there'll be there's some things up in the air. Obviously, I think they'll have a couple more to play with. Dorian Onwusheka and Darian Sutton both signed their letter of intent, so they're coming.
So as far as the incoming freshmen, we have four: Jaden Mustaf, Darian Sutton, Cole Kiriwak, and Dorian Onwuchekwa. So that, depending on who you look at, we are considered somewhere between 12 and 15 in the incoming freshman rank. And as far as the transfer portal, we're kind of top 25. We've landed two solid transfers, you know, one JV McCollum, kind of a top line scorer, and the other one a solid role player. So six new players. With a shot at another one. And that's with before Bye or Miles decide to come back or not. And I've got a feel at this point, and I'm just the alum and I'm the positive one. I'm thinking at least one of those two guys is coming back. If you twisted my arm, I don't know. I can make arguments for why either of them might go to the pros, but I just have a feeling both of them are going to get a chance to come back. And again, Lance Terry has not gone anywhere. I believe he is really deciding to potentially stay for one more season. So you've got that. This is a deeper team.
Yeah.
And the freshmen, we're looking at guys who could make an impact, because we're looking at, again, the recruits, two four-stars, top 100 players, and two very solid three-stars, top 200 players.
Yeah. The names in the portal to keep in mind if Tech does pick up another one: Cliff Omeruyi out of Rutgers. He's the big-time defensive center. He's still there. There's the Carl Hobbs connection. There's a lot of reasons why he could come. The other ones that are mentioned are RJ Godfrey out of Clemson. He's a local kid. ECU power forward Ezra Asar, and then St. Louis power forward Bradley Ezawiro. Those are the names specifically mentioned by Rod McKenzie as possibilities and names to keep an eye on. Otherwise, the withdrawal deadline for the draft is June 12th. So Damon is going to have to juggle that, because he does have 11 kids now with Luke O'Brien coming in. He has 11 kids on scholarship. Not 100% sure, how many more he's going to need. I don't know how many you have as a basketball program. Is it 12 or 13? Maybe 15?
I believe 15.
So you have a couple spots, and you have to make sure you're managing your roster, considering, Dongo and Miles could always come back. So just kind of got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Let's talk a little football.
Absolutely.
Because transfer portal news, not as much, but still a little bit.
No, there's a ton.
Okay.
There's a ton. After spring practice.
Everybody get your pens out and your handy-dandy notebooks for the Blues Clues reference.
Well, after spring practice, plenty of kids looked at the board and said, I don't think I'm going to play as much as I thought I was.
Yeah.
And that's not cool with me.
Yeah, so let's give them the list. We don't need to do in-depth on everybody.
Well, there's not much to talk about. Right. A lot of them.
Because they weren't in the depth chart. All right,
so there was two walk-on quarterbacks that decided to transfer, Colson Brown and Aiden Semo. They weren't ever going to play anyway, but once Aaron Filo and Graham Knoll showed out, it was like, oh, crap, I'm like sixth. And then there's Brody Rhodes. It's like, oh, I'm like seventh. Ooh, that's a – so they're transferring. We wish them nothing but the best. Eric Reed, cornerback, he transferred. I'm going to be honest. When I saw him show up in the portal, I was like, who is Eric Reed? And he was a former four-star high school prospect. He went to Auburn to start his college career. He transferred into Georgia Tech around the same time that like Amari Harvey came in. And he hasn't played at all for the Jackets, so he's leaving again for another program. Hope he finds somewhere where he can play. Justin Brown was a wide receiver. He was an interesting one. He came in last year as a transfer as a true freshman because he had committed to Mississippi State, and then Mike Leach unfortunately passed. And so then he transferred to Tech, didn't play. Now he's leaving again.
Yep.
Third team in 2 years. It's interesting. I believe we talked about James Blackstrain, former pretty good wide receiver prospect. He just hasn't really broken the two deep for the team at all in the last couple years. Steven Jones, another guy from the 2023 class, he is leaving. He's cornerback from an Alabama high school. The interesting ones were Ayo Tafasi and Jack Barton, two guys that transferred into the program this cycle, like in the winter cycle. They both hopped back in the transfer portal, which is interesting because they both were set up to play rotational roles. Tafasi is a younger kid. He was only at Mississippi State for a year or two, or not Mississippi State, Florida State for a year or two. Jack Barton was a graduate student from Furman. I find it interesting that they hopped in the portal because they both played in the spring game. It looked like they weren't going to be starters, but they were going to get in and play some snaps, which is what it looked like when they transferred in. So I don't know what...
And all of these names, you know, listen, with this new era, let's... I just after the spring game, you just get reminded yet again that these are real people. They have real lives. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know what's going on in their families. We don't know what's going on in what they thought they were going to get when they got here and then realized I'm going to be a bit rotational player or I'm not going to make the field at all. And so this is the reality of what we now live in. They're going to go find somewhere else. And I think over time, we're starting to already see that there's this class of athlete, and I'm not saying this disparagingly at all, but there's a class of athlete that is always looking for the greener grass on the other side, yeah. Right? And they're all, so, hey, third transfer portal in 3 years or fourth in 4 years. You were talking about Davon Smith. Looks like he went in the portal again, yeah, to go back to basketball real quick. And I think that is a reality now. Whereas, you know, and it is what it is. So again, we wish them the best and whatever's going on in their life. I hope they stay healthy. I hope they stay well. And I hope they do nothing to hurt our chances of winning a game in the future.
Of course not. Two biggest ones I would say are Eddie Kelly, who is a defensive end who came in from South Florida this past season, and he really worked his way into a rotation role. He became one of the main pass rushers that Georgia Tech had. He's hopping in the portal as well. And then Gabe Fortson, who, if you'll remember, he had a lot of helium spring practice last year, came in the 2023 class. He looked like the potential center of the future once Weston Franklin was gone. It looks like Santana Alutuapuoa, the kid out of IMG, he kind of took over as the second string center in spring practice this year. So Gabe Fortson got usurped, uprooted, and he has decided to go continue his athletic career somewhere else. Makes sense. Wish him nothing but the best. Don't want to disparage any of them. Georgia Tech does sit at 31 transfers for the entire offseason. They did bring in a couple, though, to fill some holes.
Yeah.
And they range in impact. So the least impactful, not to disparage, is offensive lineman Nick Pearson. He's from Milton, Georgia. He comes from the University of Kentucky program, which sounds like a big deal, but he was a freshman last year. He's going to be a sophomore this year. His notable accomplishments for this past season was he practiced with the team. So, hey, depth.
He's got time.
But he was a two-year starter at Blessed Trinity High School, so at least a guy to fill out the offensive line room.
Well, let's see what happens.
Jaden Davis is the most recent one. He is coming from the University of Cincinnati, safety prospect. He was a top 30 safety in the 2023 class, so he's coming in as a – he's only been in college for 1 year. Top 70-ish player in Georgia. He comes from Collins Hill, so he's a very local kid from our home, where we live, actually,
yeah,
Suwanee,
right,
Georgia.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, but I was a Peachtree Ridge kid, so we have a lot of things we say about Collins Hill, and not a lot of them are nice.
But we'll say one nice thing. We'll say there's a very nice thing about Collins Hill. This young man coming to play for
absolutely, Tech. Yeah. And then the big one is Romello Height, transferring in from USC. He is a defensive end, an edge rusher. He had 4 sacks last year in a rotational role. He also played at Auburn his first season where he kind of got in, made some tackles, played another rotational role. He had 1 season wiped out because of an injury. So whenever he's played, he's at least gotten time on some very good teams. Although the USC defense was not very good last year, he at least led the team in sacks, I believe, or he was at least tied for the lead. But he is the biggest time pickup because the Jackets really needed some depth on the edge with Eddie Kelly, Jack Barton leaving. They were looking at running in with Josh Robinson and, you know, not a ton else.
By the way, I saw what you did there. The big one, Rolando Height.
Romello
Height, big.
Yes.
Funny. Good one.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah. Again, boy, your stand-up career is really going to take off.
Hey,
All right, go ahead.
I'm a performer. I'm a natural born.
Those
are the names.
Okay. So let's kind of reset. We did with the basketball team. Let's reset with the football team. You know, 30 plus transfers out, but we've got an incoming freshman class. We've got other transfers in.
Yeah.
It's not like we're shorthanded. What I'm seeing, and this is, again, we're always hopeful in the preseason and spring practice, What I'm seeing is Georgia Tech is adding depth. You've got, you know, it's gone from we've got enough bodies to we seem to be upgrading at a lot more positions. And
I would say that the kids coming in, I think, are arguably better than the kids going out. And part of it is also there were 13 early enrollees for this freshman class, and almost all of them were getting significant snaps with the ones or the twos. So I think it's more of Brent Key, especially with the 2023 class, he brought in who he could. He tried to get as many of the really of the kids that he liked, but now you're kind of filtering out the ones that, okay, they we took a shot on them. Doesn't look like they're going to have a spot. They're going to go play for another program, probably a group of five team, somebody lower down the spectrum. Tech is finding the kids that they want that they can think can play, and they're going to have a spot.
And let's be honest, when it comes to the football program and the basketball program for next season, they both have earned a little bit of goodwill, I think.
Yeah.
And Brent Key, you know, took us to the first bowl game in a while. We are now at a place where we don't have to speak of him who will never be spoken of again. And so now it's, okay, great, that's wonderful. But now, are you going to be consistent? Are you going to be consistent to where we make another bowl game? And is there a potential for us to take a step forward? You've got a fantastic quarterback. You've got great skill positions, a deep wide receiver room. So we should be good on offense. Can the defense take a step up so that we can get to 7 or 8 wins this year? Because it is a tough schedule. And the ACC is going to be, while it's not the greatest conference in football, there's some darn good teams in the ACC that we are going to play. So here's your chance, Brent. Can you build on what you did last year? And, you know, we've given you the goodwill, so get yourself better. And you've got a lot of those guys are now in there for the second full year with you. And let's see what you can do. And yeah, I'm excited to see what this team does.
Pretty much all the important parts from the offense are coming back. None of them have left. So that's huge. And defense, there's been a lot of moving and shaking, a lot of movement in and out. But there it appears to be at least a couple guys from Romello Height, EJ Lightsey, Kyle Efford coming on strong at the end of last year. Apparently Jackson Hamilton has really made an impression, the transfer linebacker from Louisville, Warren Burrell from Tennessee. They've at least filled the holes that have been created. You would like to see a little bit more depth, and the portal, there's still plenty of time. Some kids, there's a lot of kids in there that haven't committed yet because they're still in school. They're finishing up their semesters. Most schools have a couple more weeks. But once you get out of school and once you can enroll in the new school, then you'll probably see some more movement on this front.
Yeah, and listen, Pyron played well in the spring game for the second year in a row, and Philo came on the field and showed that he's got something. So, again, there's reasons to be hopeful. And dare we take the step forward where we start to expect and go, all right, you've got our goodwill. Now keep it and keep moving forward and build something. So, all right, so you've gotten all the transfer portal news. You can put your pens down. You can also pick up your keyboard and shoot us a quick email if you want to get one of your opinions on the air. JoshuaJulian26@outlook.com. You can send him an email. You can also send him an email about the other shows on the What's the Good Word Sports Podcast channel. That includes shows about the Hawks, the Braves, and the Falcons. Speaking of the Braves and the Falcons, Kirk Cousins threw out the first pitch at the Braves game on Sunday night and spent an inning in the booth with the ESPN people talking about the Falcons and talking about how big of a fan his kids are of the Braves.
And he's going to indirectly cost the Falcons a draft pick because he talked about talking to the team doctor before he was signed.
Well, then he better recover that when on the field. So anyway, all right. Well, you'll have to hear more of Joshua's rant about Kirk Cousins' first mistake in a Falcons uniform at the press conference on his What's the Good Word Falcons podcast. But for now, there is only one question that we all must ask.
What's the good word?